I've really been looking forward to this, just being with you and getting to see the snow and everything. I believe I would like for 2 Chronicles 16:9 to be what God sees here, part of what this song said applies to this. Have you got the words right handy? That portion about the heart. I want to start, but I must have a pure heart. Would you read that? I need your help. We need Him to purify our hearts. And that's the starting place. And the scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro throughout the earth. Why? That He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. We need pure hearts, and He wants wholehearted people. And I think the Lord is just looking all over the world for people who are completely, totally His, are going to go all the way. And what does He say He's going to do? He is going to strongly support them. He is going to infill them and minister life to a world through them. Let's just close our eyes for a moment and let's ask the Lord to come, and if you're willing to let the Lord do anything He wants to in your own life and heart this week, then you just tell Him. Tell Him that your heart is open, your mind is open, and ask Him to do a deep work. Lord, we do right now. Thank You for this privilege. We've already sensed Your presence here. Our hearts are open to You. I pray that You'll anoint me and anoint each ear and mind here. And may there be a real teaching of Thy Spirit today. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This week, my purpose is severalfold, that we might know God in a deeper way and know how He relates to us. That we might know Him, and as we get to know Him, experience Him, and find out what He thinks about us. In all of this, we're going to be looking about who we are in Christ. Why I feel and act the way I do. Sometimes we act in such a way that we don't like it, and yet we're not quite sure why we're acting that way. Why did I do that dumb thing? So we'll be looking at some of those things. Along with that, uncovering spiritual blockages in the life. Blockages and strongholds that we may be very aware of, but have not been able to handle. Maybe a besetting sin. Well, how do I get free from some of these strongholds? And then, if the Lord leads, unless He leads differently, we'll plan to talk a little bit about Satan and the way he works in the world, and some of the influence of the demonic upon our lives and our situations, and how best to handle this. So here are some of the things that we'll hit, and the Lord's already changed my mind twice this morning. And there about 2 minutes ago I thought He'd changed again, but I'll try to be open to Him, and you be open, and I'm sure the Lord's going to talk to us this morning. I'd like to ask you a question. I need your participation first. How or upon what does the world rate a successful man. Here is a successful man. In the eyes of the world, and I'm just going to write these up here, what are some of the things that the world will say, hey, that man is a success because he is this, that, or the other. And let's just write this down for a minute here. Okay? Somebody, raise your hand. Yes. Let's see if we can fix this. All right. Job. Another. Social prestige. All right, social prestige. Well liked. And I think I heard money. Now, what does money for what say? All right. Possessions, material things. Man, he's got all kinds of things. It's wonderful. I think I have one too many S's in there, but don't worry about it. Material things. He drives a Cadillac. That's not the big thing now, is it? Okay. Possessions. Looks, appearance. All right. Looks like $1 million. Body, physical. Back to money again, huh? Looks like $1 million. All right. Power. Oftentimes that money and power goes along together, doesn't it? Power. Authority. It's what power is. It's authority. You come over here and you do this, and you do this, and you do this. No, don't do that. You stay home. You come go. Power. Let's see. We'll go around back the other way. But it's still not very clear, is it? I'm sorry, but it's not working too well. Okay. That's even worse. Power. Yes. Happiness. All right, that person is happy, therefore they're a success. Now, we don't really know. In fact, isn't all of these things are really what people are wanting to make them happy. Right? I want to be happy. Another word for happiness, we might say, is pleasure. He's a successful person because he's happy and he's enjoying life. He seems to enjoy life. So he's successful. All right, another. Talent. Hey. Did a good job there. I don't know what you did. All right, talent. Abilities. Paints a picture. Can sing. Can speak. They are a success. All right, what else? Yes. They have a happy family. A successful family. The kids are going well. The kids are doing well. The kids are in college and they're making it. 4-0. Education. Dr. Daniels. DD. Education. Now, what does that represent? Education, oftentimes. Knowledge. All right. Intellect. IQ. What else does education represent? Uh-huh. All right. Can we say security then? That person's got security. Oftentimes money will do this and other things will do this, we believe. What else does education oftentimes represent? Prestige. Is that very important? Honor. Prestige. Yes. We've got social prestige, but this is a little bit different. Along that line would be accomplishments. They have done this. They have done that. They have been successful here. Accomplishments. Anything else? Yes. Heritage. I'm a Jones. Oh, you know the Jones who owned all that property up there? Owns all the cattle? I'm that Jones. P.Q. Jones. All right, heritage. Very good. Yes. All right. And what does that represent? What would that represent? A following. Respect and an honor. Could we say friends? They've got friends. A successful man. What does the world rate as a successful man? Reputation. Now, which one or ones of these influence you the most? Well, there's not a one of us that aren't influenced strongly in a number of these. Now let me encourage you to do what most of you I see are doing, and that is take notes, because we'll cover quite a bit of material, and the way for it to become real to you is when you go back over it and review it. Say, now God, talk to me about this. Now, why don't you just go on and check 1, 2, 3, or 4 of these that would be which influences you the most in the world's rating. Now, I purposely said the world's rating there. In fact, check 4. Check 4 of them. So we'll ask you to limit it to 4. And not a one of these are bad, necessarily. We're not saying, hey, bad, 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 bad. We're all influenced by them. Okay, have you got it? Now, which ones of these, and you want to check these, really impress God? That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Even if it's not on that 4. And I think we can see that God really isn't impressed with the things that the world really rates as this is important. Why? Why is He not impressed with the job that we have, or the prestige that we have, or the $100,000 that you've got in the bank, your cars or your house or your looks, why does that not really impress him very much? Who's responsible for them? That's right. Anything we've got has come from him. He's the source. Any good thing, anything that we have of value at all comes from him. And these are not the things that impress him. Let's look in Luke 12, verse 21. We'll just read a couple of scriptures here. Luke 12, verse 13. And someone in the crowd said to Christ, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" And then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." That takes a good bit of what we've talked about out of the picture. Life consisting of possessions. Then he told them a parable. The land of a certain rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?" And he said, "Now this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared?'" But this verse 21 is what's heavy. "So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward We can have all of these things and be in poverty so far as God's concerned. Are you rich toward God? Is the goal of our life such that it's going to make us rich toward God? Where are we laying up our treasures? You see, we really know what the answers are, oftentimes, but we never change our life, our style of living, what we do. If you knew that in 3 years from now, you were going to be transported to Australia, and in Australia, the only thing that was going to be worth anything there was coconuts. I mean, that the only thing that had any value at all was going to be coconuts. And you had 3 years to live before you were transported to Australia. Tell me what you'd be doing in those 3 years. I know what you'd be doing. I'd be doing the same thing. I'd probably go to Hawaii and see if I can get some coconuts, right? And we would have truckloads of coconuts so that when the end of that 3 years' time comes, I would go to Australia rich. I'd have all these coconuts. I'd take me a shipload of coconuts. Well, we don't know when we're going to Australia. We might have 10 years. We might have 50 years. We might have a day. Are we rich toward God? Are you rich toward God? Have you been laying up treasures in heaven? If you're like me, you've probably said, well, not nearly as much as I want to. Well, what can we do? Would you agree that the purpose in man's life would have to do in relationship to being rich toward God? There ought to be a correlation there, right? And that's really what I want us to think about this morning a little bit. How do I become rich toward God? How do I please God? As we begin to please God, we're going to be rich toward God. Why am I here? Why am I really created? In fact, what I'd like for you to do now, on your piece of paper there, and I'm sure you've had a lot of this before, but it's good to distill our thinking and put it out there. And I want you to write down in just a sentence, I am created to blank. Whatever you feel God's created you for, you write it out there. Nobody's going to look at this. This is just between you and the Lord. Help us to clarify our thinking. Purpose. The most important thing about anything is its purpose. This machine, this overhead projector, I can use it to light up the room when it's dark. And that's all right. But what I really want to do is to use it so you can see and put my thoughts out here. If it won't do that, it's a flunk. Right? If this pen won't work when I want to write something on there, it's a failure. I don't care. I can get the wax out of my ears with it. I can do all kinds of things with this pen, right? But when I want to use it, and if it won't perform, it's a failure. Now, what is man created for? And then according to your definition, how are you doing? Because a lot of you got exactly right. You've got it down. You know, hey, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. How are we doing? This is part of what this week is going to do for us, I trust, is to help us to evaluate and see what we're to do. And then motivate us to do that which we know to do. I'm finding my problem is most of it isn't not knowing what to do, but it's doing what I know to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's not going to be deep. What you're going to be getting here just won't be deep at all. It's going to be very practical, and it's going to take God to place it in the heart. I can't motivate you. Anything I can motivate you to do, it'll be gone in 2 days at best. I mean, that's at the very best. So God's going to have to do the motivating. That's why we've prayed and asked the Lord to do that already. Why was man created? Isaiah 43:7 says, "Whom I have created for my glory." Now, I'll give you several scriptures, and then I'll write out the reference. You can go back. But to glorify God, to honor God, to lift Him up. Now, this pleases God when we glorify God. Who do we tend to glorify? Yeah. Who do we tend to have as number one in our universe? Me. Old number one. God created us to glorify Himself. In Revelations 4:11, God's word says that he is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Revelations 4:11. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the blank of God. Glory of God. That's the way I do my children when we're around the table, you know. Blank, fill in the blanks. Get them to think a little bit. Glory. Whether you, am I eating to the glory of God? Am I drinking to the glory of God? Whatever I'm doing, I'm made to glorify you. Now the question is, how do I do it? There's the question. Hey, that's good. I'm made to glorify you. Glory, 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 glory. Well, how do I really do it? Here's a little diagram. We have God over here on the left. God has a number of characteristics, but we see that God is love. 1 John 4, it's already been alluded to. God is love. You know, God doesn't have just the characteristic of love. God is love. He didn't have to get up in the morning, this morning, and say, okay, let's see, man, that's a rascally bunch down there, but I'll see if I can love them this morning. He is love. God is love. Really, if we can get a hold of that this week, that will change everything else. God loves me. Like Monty said, God loves me. Dad loves me. God is love. God is holy. Blameless. Perfect. Without sin. Without spot. Without wrinkle. Without even the thought of it. Pure as all this snow. White. God is holy. And God is a Father. God is a Father. Now, he may not be like some of our fathers. Your father may not be like God is as a father. We're going to be looking at what that means. But a father wants children. Do you know that God has always been a father? Jesus was asked, well now, Lord, how should we pray? And he says, well, start it this way. Our Father who art in heaven. God has always been a father. And Jesus has always been a son. There's always been a father and a son. There's always been a family. You know, we're really not here by accident. I mean, there was a plan. And God the Father, and here's the Son. A beautiful, wonderful relationship. And they said, listen, this is good. Let's see if we can expand it somehow. The Father said, I want a lot more sons just like you, Jesus. He wants a family. And what happened was, God created man. He created man to love him. God is love. So what does love have to do? Love has to love. If I was here in this room all by myself and I says, I love you, the walls wouldn't say a whole lot. But I love you. I love you. Right? God made man because he is love to love. He made man to love and for man to return that love. We find in Mark 12, 29 and 30 that we are to love the Lord our God. In fact, Jesus was asked, what is the most important of all of the commandments? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and mind and soul. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. We are to love. And as we love, this glorifies God. So we're going to put glorify God over here as man's purpose. And the way we glorify God is to love Him and to receive His love. Have you ever loved someone and they didn't receive your love? Probably the best way to ask that question is there anyone here that's not happened to? Where you love someone, you really wanted to express that love, and you reached out to them, and they just wouldn't receive it. They rejected it. They didn't want it. God reaches out to man. What is the unpardonable sin? It's rejecting God, isn't it? God is love, and I either accept Him or reject Him. I either accept love or I reject it. I either accept you into my life or I reject you out of my life. And God is love, and love is active. Love moves. Love reaches out. For God so loved the world that He gave. Love gives. Love reaches. And here God made us so that He could love us and that love would be returned to Him, that we might love Him. Now, what is love? Well, you all remind me of my college days. That's where I met my wife, Shirley, at Baylor University, as a freshman. It's interesting. But it was at BSU Missions. And we would go out on Friday nights, and we'd have these little mission projects. And we had a mission Bible school every Friday night. And I remember I knew her. Knew her name, knew where she was from, knew some things about her. But when I really began to be interested in her, I began to want to spend time with her. And I might be with her all day, like a Saturday. We'd go out to Cameron Park and have a picnic lunch. We'd have a good time out there. And I'd take her back to the dorm, and I'd rush to the dorm and get on the phone. How you doing, Billy? I couldn't get enough. You know what I'm talking about. I want to spend time with her. Love is fellowship. Love is union. Love is just... If it was just one thing, there's an attitude of adoration, there's an attitude of fellowship. Love is fellowship. Love is union. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul. When we would be separated, I'd write her, and she'd write me. And we'd go on the phone when we were separated. And there was, and I'd get one of those letters and she'd write and I'd read it. Just one time. Right? Man, I'd read that thing over and over again. Might just be a page, but I'd read it over and over again, you know. And enjoy it. Enjoy those love letters. And we've got love letters. Well, got to mark DB, daily Bible readings today. Yeah, I got to read this thing. Brett told me to. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. We glorify God by loving Him, spending time with Him, fellowshipping with Him. Now, you recall we said that God is a Father, and a Father wants many sons, and one of the main reasons that we were created was to become like God, to be Godlike. And in Romans, in fact, you might want to look at this. Romans 8. Verse 29. For whom God foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Why? That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's read it again. For whom God foreknew, He knew us before we were even created. He knew us. He predestined, or He destined.
He had a destination.
Now what was the destination? That we might become conformed.
Conform. To be with whom?
What kind of form? To the image of His Son. We are to be like Christ. Now why did He want us to be like Christ? Because He is so pleased with His Son Jesus. He is so pleased that He went through whom be found. You know, we sing, I'm so glad, I'm a part of the family of God. We sing all these family songs, but really, a part of the family. God is big. And God wants us to be like Him, and He says, I'm determined to make your destination to be just like my Son Jesus Christ. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren,
just like Him.
We are made to be God-like. We're made to be in the image of God. John 15:8 says, by this is my Father glorified. John 15:8, by this is my Father glorified. How? That ye bear much fruit. Now, what is fruit? What is fruit? Anybody? We bear much fruit. There's different kinds of fruit. What are some of the kinds of fruit? I'm sorry, I missed that. All right. The fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? And what are they, though? They are God's characteristics. Are they not? Love, joy, peace, patience,
kindness, gentleness, all those things. He made us to be like Himself. When we glorify God, when we bear God's fruit, when life
begins to be filled with God's likeness. You with me? When you look at me, and love, if love is coming out, then who am I showing? I'm showing God to the world. Love to the world. Joy to the love. Joy to the world. How do you get that way? Well, let's ask you. I know Jesus. Jesus is doing this in me. God. Back to His image. We glorify God by bearing much fruit. And another kind of fruit, of course, are bringing people
into a living relationship with Jesus Christ so that they might be like him, that they might be really brethren. You with me? Glorifying God by becoming like God. Glorifying God by bringing other people into a relationship to God so that they can become like God. Back to the family. And all of this, we begin to be rich toward God. Do I love God? Do I really have a union with Him? Do I desire for fellowship? Do I desire His love letters? Are the fruits of the Spirit being manifested in my life? As all of these things are happening, do people fall in love with God by looking at my life? Or am I moving at least in that direction? Okay? I don't know anybody that's there. I know who's not there. I'm not. But am I on that road? Is that the goal, the direction of my life? I don't care what else I do. Doesn't make any difference about my family or my education or my intellect or the accomplishments and the honor and the prestige, the money, the possessions, the looks, the job, the prestige. All of these things oftentimes take their turn and be moving toward them, and yet God says the only thing that is really going to count is, are you living according to the purpose for which I made you? I made you to love me with all of your heart, mind, and soul. I made you to become like me and to draw others into a fellowship with me. I use the word fellowship under the word love in Micah 6:8. And you'll want to write this one down, Micah 6:8. What do I require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God. Fellowship. To walk humbly with thy God. Micah 6:8. One other scripture that you want to write down and look at later. This is a precious one. Jeremiah 13:11. Jeremiah 13:11. And that has to do with dependence. As the waistband clings to the waist of a man, so I made man to cling to me, says the Lord. I made man to cling to me, to depend upon me, to trust in me, to rely upon me, that they might be for me a people, God said. I want a family. We want a people. And that they might be for me a people, for my renown, for my name. Not for our name. Not for our popularity. For God's popularity. For my praise, he says, and for my glory. Man, that's powerful. For my name, for my praise, for my glory, I made them.
How are we doing?
How are we doing? We need to sharpen up the focus of our life. Let's sharpen it up. Now, rather than loving God with all the heart, mind, and soul, and honoring Him, and glorifying Him, and getting a name for God, what do?
We love Danny Daniels with all his heart, mind, and soul.
Right? Self-centeredness. Selfishness. I love me. And I'll love others that love me. And others that are kind to me and nice to me and will help me be what I want to be, well, we'll get along fine. But don't get in my way if that's not the self-centeredness. Self gets hurt, what happens? Hate. Self wants satisfaction, what happens? Sex. Self wants love, self wants approval. What happens? He'll do anything, whatever that. So what happens?
God is love. His love gives, and we're putting our love on ourselves. God is holy. You know what sin is? Sin is an archer's term, an archery term. Means to miss the mark. There's the bullseye.
Pull it back. I let it go. And I don't even miss the bullseye. I might hit the target, but I'm missing the bullseye. Sin is missing the bullseye or the purpose, the goal for your life. I'm a failure. I don't care how much good I do.
If I am not loving, becoming like God, and honoring Him with my life. And because of that, man gets separated from God. We're separated. And I use this diagram oftentimes in sharing the faith. And you can use this with young people, with anybody. Because we are separated from God, because God is holy, and we cannot move into His presence with all of this stuff in us. Some people have said, well now, God, I don't have anything against you at all. You're really all right. I tell you what, you go your way and I go my way. I won't bother you. You won't bother me. Well, I go to church. I'll be a good person. I'll raise my children to be good citizens. Is that enough? I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't curse. I don't run around. I don't do any of those things. Good enough? Am I loving God? See, they have to come back to our study. Am I loving God? Am I fellowshipping with Him? Am I really becoming God-like? Is He the source of my life? And so I am separated from God. And what? Only Christ. Right in the center. Can rewrite me. 2 Corinthians 5:18. God reconciled us to Himself through Christ. God reconciled. To reconcile means to make peace with. I'm reconciled to my brother. I'm at peace with my brother now. We had an argument and we were separated, but now there's reconciliation, there's peace. God reconciled, made peace to us through Christ. And then He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's 2 Corinthians 5:18. And then 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also died for sin. For myself, for my selfishness, for all the stuff that came out of self. My greed, hate, lust, so forth. Christ died for that spirit of self, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Christ took all of your sins and your sins upon Himself right there, that He might bring us to God. And what God literally does is place His Spirit in us. Right there. Right in there. God places His Spirit in us. And rather than self being in control of the life, we have Christ controlling the life. The main thing I would like for us to see is to evaluate first what really is motivating my life. What are the goals of my life? What are the things that push me and motivate me? What are they? And which of these things that we've talked about? Job or the getting of a job? I'm going to get a job because I need money. Why do I need money? Well, I need money to buy things, or I need security. Is it looks and spending all of our time determining our appearance? Power and authority? I need some respect around this house. Have you heard that? Accomplishments? Reputation? friends, developing talents and abilities, education, or, Lord, to know you, to glorify you, to become like you, to spend time with you. Now you want to, here's the way you can determine. You say, well, I'm really not quite sure.
How do you worship him?
And that's the way they can tell.
How do we lose our time?
We all have the same amount of time. How did you use your time this morning? Or yesterday morning? Last night? Time with you, God. Time developing. Time becoming like you. The goal of our life. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Let's just be still for 3 or 4 minutes and just ask the Lord, Lord, where am I in relationship to what has been said today? Where am I? How's my love life with you? It may be that in comparison to last year, you're 1,000 miles ahead of where you were. Praise God. Maybe last year at this time you didn't even know Him. Praise you, Lord. But maybe you've been a Christian a while and you've seen the things of the world pull you away. Ask the Lord to give you the motivation and the desire to love Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Because we don't even have that in ourselves. I need that motivation. You need that motivation. And that comes from God. As we meet with God, then He begins to give us the motivation to want more of Him and more of Him and more of Him. Now ask the Lord if there's anything specific that He wants you to do that you've not done. Or anything that He wants you to quit doing that would hinder His purpose in your life. Our Lord, we plan to spend time with You today and this weekend. Lord, we do want to love You, and yet we realize we're a long way from being what we ought to be. We thank You for Your grace and for Your forgiveness. Lord, we want to be rich towards You. Lord, we do want our lives to count, that You might be glorified and that You might be honored, that You might be pleased. Show us what we are to do individually to become more like You. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.